You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 117. My guest today is Anna. Now, Anna's had the kind of dream that you have maybe once, twice, maybe maximum three times in a lifetime. That kind of dream where you wake up and go, wow, like, did that really happen? It was sensational. It was a kind of dream where, without spoiling the story, she woke up and her body felt completely different. It felt, well, I'm not going to tell you anymore, but it was an amazing dream, one which can leave you questioning, well, was that a dream? Did I really go somewhere? Did I experience something unusual? Was it just a dream? Was it more than a dream? Lots and lots of questions like that, but a stunning dream to listen to. As you know, the process in doing this is that we call our guest who's going to be on the show, and I haven't heard the dream before. We just arrange the time and day to call. So as you hear, I hear the dream as Anna reports it, and we interpret it and talk about it and do some alchemy from there. And then when we finish recording, we come back so that I can do this little introduction. So that's why I can tell you that Anna has had an extraordinary dream and that you are going to really enjoy listening to it. Of course, I have to do the website announcements first, which is my main website is www.dream.net.au. That's where you go for exploring hundreds of pages of free information, resources and examples about dream interpretation. It's also where you go if you want to book an appointment with me, to speak with me confidentially, either by phone, by Skype, wherever you are in the world, or by email, or to do life coaching, or to train to become a dream analyst yourself, or just to visit our shop and buy an ebook or a paperback, etc., etc., www.dream.net.au, or visit my blog at www.janetheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H, or go to the Dream Show website, which doesn't have the www's, so it is just thedreamshow.tv. Oh, and of course, there's Facebook. And in any case, you're not really here to listen to any of that. Those are just places you might like to go after you've listened to Anna, her dream, my interpretation of it, and our chat. So sit back and enjoy. Welcome to the Dream Show, Anna. How are you this morning?
Oh, not too bad, thank you. A little bit nervous. but I'm sure I'll be okay as we go along.
That's all right. All our guests tell me they're nervous and they soon forget once we get into that wonderful dream. So what have you got for me?
Well, my experience was so in-depth, I actually wrote it all down. So I'm going to be reading it to you, and I'm hoping to get everything over to you well and strongly, as well as I experienced it within my dream and also within my body, because that's what happened at the end.
Okay, fantastic. Sounds like we're in for a really good movie. So I'm sitting back and I'm listening, as is everybody else. On you go.
Okay. My dream started off by a gathering of people whom I did not know, getting together to experience, and that's a key word there, experience someone, a being, coming into a body of a person who was still living. I was one of the people in the group. This scene was extremely vivid for me, as if I was really there and not just dreaming. We were all extremely excited about this event. It was a very happy and unique occasion for all of us. The person whose body was going to be taken over for this experience was aged around 35 and was also happy for this to take place. We were only vaguely familiar with who it was taking over this body, as though we had heard of this person but not known them very well. During the scene, I was mainly interacting and talking with the person whose body was going to be taken over. Once again, it was a very exciting time for all of us, and we were anxious for it to happen. The next part I only vaguely remember, it was interacting and conversing with the person who took over the body. It was just a normal everyday interaction, talking, discussing, nothing unusual, but it did go on for some time. The next incident was in a cave or something that appeared cave-like. We were discussing things as a group and the leader was the person who took over the body. An item of interest was needed and I mentioned that I would go and get it. The leader suggested it was best for him to fetch the item as I would be unsure as of where it was located and he was the only person to be able to perceive using his intuition as to where it was and also that it was in a vicinity that may not be too pleasant to experience. After some time, the leader left to fetch the item. When the leader returned, he appeared very different, but I did not flinch upon seeing him, as I intuitively knew it was the same being. He was showing other members of the group the picture or paper or whatever he had in his hand. They appeared excited by viewing it and pointed to something on the paper. I then asked if I could view it too. Upon viewing it, immediately I was taken to an experience of this person, the leader, his after-death encounters of his prior life. This is where vivid lucid dreaming began. I was seeing a still image, so it was just like a still image of a woman mourning, but I was feeling her pain and her sorrow. I knew intuitively that this was his after-death experience, and I couldn't work out why I was feeling a woman or this female's pain, because he was a male. I kept questioning myself that he was male and this was a female, and it didn't make sense. I seemed to be using my logical brain to decipher what was going on, bringing me back into my physical body somewhat. As soon as I realized that this occurred because that was him feeling her pain after he crossed over, I was then taken to like a running movie and the next scene. So this was just as you would view something on TV or whatever, but here I was still lucid dreaming once again. This thing was in a temple, and as I said, it was definitely a lucid dream. It seemed to be a very far distance away, yet on the other hand, it did not. I was viewing the temple as if I was on the ceiling. There was an enormous amount of yellow and orange lights emanating from the lower levels. By using my intuition, I knew it was hundreds of people there, even though I could not distinguish them. They seemed to be holding a light, a flame. The more I focused on what was going on via my inner senses, the more clear it became that all of these people were chanting and expressing the love for the deceased person, the one whom I was experiencing after-death events. I was informed via words in my mind telepathically that this was his first day after his death, and that there are 3 days until complete departure from the physical world. I was only going to experience the first day as the other two were too intense for my physical body to encounter. From the moment I realized the yellow and orange lights were divine pure love for this being, everything happened in a flash. I had present moment awareness back in my body, fully comprehending exactly what was transpiring and also still experiencing this pure divine love, but within my body now and back in my physical body in my bed. This was absolutely not a dream or lucid dreaming. This was real. The area where the love had lodged was in the region of my base chakra, but the whole area, not just the chakra point. It felt like a warm, fluffy pink cloud times by 100. But to be realistic, it was really indescribable. I felt another energy moving from my left ovary, or what felt like where the ovaries would be located, to the right and back again to the left, while still sensing the other wondrous feeling. I was in awe of all of this and astonished by what I just felt and been aware of physically in my body. I just remain still relishing in this amazing experience and recalling all other details of it to make sure I remembered it all well. It seemed to me as though something was activated within me at that time. And that's it.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic, Anna, and great recall too. And you did it. I know that you're sitting there thinking, I can never get other people to really experience what I experienced, but you did an extremely excellent job of doing that. You described it really well and gave us a really good feel for, you know, what the beginnings of what you must have experienced there. So thank you for that. A few questions to ask you first. I always seem to look at the end of the dream first here, but bear with me. Did you, when you had that energy moving, as you say, from the left ovary to the right and then back, and a kind of indescribable feeling, has there been any level of physical healing that you've actually been requiring, or was this just the feeling that you had when you were waking up? Has there been anything around your ovaries or your base chakra which you have been aware of needing healing in a physical sense?
No, I actually thought that myself. I thought, you know, is there something different? Like, obviously, it's quite a few, you know, maybe over a week now or more has passed. Is there something different about me? But not that I'm aware of, or, yeah, I sort of tried to even thought of some underneath reason, or, but no, I couldn't really say that there was anything that, once again, that I'm aware of.
Yeah, no, that's great. I just wanted to home in straight away to find out whether before you slept you were aware of a physical ailment or not. And this, you know, confirms for me that we're going in totally symbolically here, which is really, really good. I do have another couple of questions. I understand that the energy that came in then appeared, you know, the leader then appeared as a male and was a male, and that the when you went back and saw the woman that was passing, she was a woman, but the leader came into a body, someone in the group, and took it over. Was that person a male or a female?
Well, in the beginning, it was a male. It was a male, and the being that came in was a male.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a male. The leader was that person in the new body, in that body that was taken over. So it was all male.
Yes.
Then what it was when he died, it gets confusing. That's why I wrote it all down.
No, I got it. But when he died, you then went back and saw that he had passed as a woman. Yeah.
No. No, when he was... It would be as if I had died, but then someone that I knew living here, I was feeling their pain. I'd passed, but I was feeling their pain.
Yes.
So it was like sensing someone else's senses.
Yes.
It's like someone else, like I say I had passed away and someone was really upset that I had passed away. Well, I was feeling that person's pain.
I understand.
But it was like me feeling the person who had passed and them feeling the other person's pain for them.
I understand. You're describing it really well. That's good. Now, we're going to go into lots of different areas of this absolutely fabulous and fantastic dream. I'm so glad, and I know everybody listening in is on tenterhooks to find out what it means and how it relates. And when I interpret a dream, Anna, and I get what you're saying to me, even though there are lucid elements and even though you feel, you know, your understanding of the dream was that it was an experience as well as a dream. It was a deeper experience, an actual 100% experience. These are just levels of understanding our reality, and they always apply to what we've been going through in the last 24 to 48 hours. So, there's that feeling when we question, is it a dream? Was it a dream? It didn't feel like a dream. It was something more than a dream because you woke up and felt the effects in your body. We're kind of, before going into interpretation, kind of playing around with all our human inability to put labels on things. You know, it's easy for us sometimes to even when we interpret a dream, to write it off as just it's just a dream, but it's deeply symbolic and I'm going to interpret it, rather than for us all to deeply value, as you do, the dream alongside deeply valuing your waking life experience. So there's your waking life experience, which we all think is kind of, well, that's real, and we value that. And there's our dreams, which have equal weight and validity as an experience. You know, when we're asleep, we normally don't realize that we have a waking life. Like, the dream is it. It is our total experience. And we can be quite surprised when we wake up and go, oh, well, it was a dream. You know, we're totally taken in by the dream. And therefore, the experiences we have while we are dreaming are equally as valid to ourselves and our development as a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual person as are the experiences we have when we're awake. So to my mind, they're equal value. What we experience in a dream is an equal experience, particularly once we've interpreted it and fully understand it as the kind of experiences that we have while we're awake. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from there. Having said that, the experiences that we have in our dream state are triggered by the 24 to 48 hours prior to that. So the changes that we're going through, or the new experiences that we've had consciously or unconsciously that our dreams are processing, become our dreams. So how long ago did you have this dream, Anna?
No more than 2 weeks ago. I'd say probably even less than that. So 10 days. Not all that long ago.
Okay. So as we go through this interpretation, or as we go through relating this experience to what's happening to you on every level of your being, we're looking at what happened for you a couple of days before that. So we're going back 10, 12 days to 2 weeks. So just kind of bear that in mind a little bit there too. It's quite interesting that you've got that male female question mark going through it as well, you know, and at one stage towards the end, you're very confused. Oh, is it male? Is it female? And then at the end, you've got the energy going from the left ovary to the right ovary. Now, what's on the left side of our body in dreams tends to relate to our, the right side of our brain. That is our yin, our creative self, our holistic self, really our inner female, our spiritual world. What's on the left in the body tends to relate to our yin, our inner self, our inner world. And what's on the right side of the body in our dreams tends to relate to the left brain, which is more our yang, our kind of male side, how we relate to the outer world. So you've got left side of the body tends to relate to inner world, female, right side of the body, outer world, male. So I loved the way that that energy was going back and forth between those two ovaries at the end, because what it was doing for me was this feeling of it's balancing your inner male and inner female, balancing your inner world and your outer world. And, you know, and one of the many the quests of our lives is really to find ourselves in a state of balance where we have that balance between our inner world and our outer world, our male and our female sides. Or as you quite clearly put it at one point in your dream, or at several points, actually, you were switching between, oh, I'm thinking about this too rationally, and I'm tuning into my intuition. So rational thinking will be an outer world approach. That will be your yang, your inner male approach. That's rationality. Whereas, of course, the intuition is your female, your inner world, your yin. So you've got that going through the dream that, oh, hang on a minute, Anna, I'm being too rational. Let's just focus more on my intuition. And at other points, there's this, is it male? Is it female thing going on? And then this lovely energy balancing between the ovaries. So, you know, that's one of many themes running through the dream, is this focus on getting this energy balance right between male and female. Most of us, our energy balance changes throughout life and even from day to day. And, you know, sometimes where our inner world has got the edge and sometimes our outer world has got the edge. But the times when we get into perfect balance are the magical times. And that's really what was happening for you at the time of this dream. So I want to just go through it in little bits to really put this together. So starting from the top, it opened up this absolutely fantastic feeling that you were really there. There's a group of people that were unknown to you. Now, it can be good to look at everyone in a dream, whether you know them or not in the dream, as representing something about you, an aspect of yourself. And another way to look at that for you, because I understand from the way that you were telling me your dream that this would make sense to you, is that we're all connected anyway, and that other people are just, you know, a part of ourselves. We're all one, that kind of thing. So all these people in the dream, you can look at them as other people, but it's more effective to your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual evolution and advancement if you look at them as an aspect of yourself. So you've got at the beginning this group of people who you don't really know. So right up the front of the dream, it's you were on the verge at the time you had the dream of becoming more familiar with something that you weren't familiar with. You were beginning to integrate aspects of yourself or aspects of the world that you hadn't, that were kind of unfamiliar. You were beginning to get these things together. They were beginning to come to you. That's that feeling of this group of, oh, I'm not quite familiar, but I know something really special is going to happen and we're all going to come together and experience something here. So this reflects a coming together for you of something that until then had felt, oh, not that familiar. I haven't quite got my head around this, but this is a point where it all comes together. And you know that it's not just a thinking thing. My mistake there in saying getting my head around it. This is an experience thing. This is something for you that it is not just at the head level where maybe a lot of your life has been understanding things at the head level. This is a true experiential integration that's been happening within you and that is kind of really reflecting in your dream. And that's why you also get the feeling that this is really true. It's like, I am really getting my feelings around a truth about life here. I'm really beginning to totally get, in a physical, emotional, spiritual sense, not just in my head, what is the truth about life. Now, if we just put that on hold there and skip to the end of the dream, that resonates with the end of the dream, Anna, where you wake up and you so beautifully described there that the moment that you got that it was pure divine love, you felt it in your body and it made a difference. So, you know, we know that's where we're going in the stream. It's like really getting something to the core of your being that you feel. And what you get is that sense of, hey, I've known for a long time now that it's all about love, but I have just actually really felt that. I now know it properly because I have just felt it in my body. So that's kind of the end of the dream. But I want to come back to the beginning now. You're all happy that this really special event is going to happen. So something happened in the day or two leading up to this dream where you really began to feel, I'm really going to experience something fantastic now and integrate something in a way I haven't done before. And I'm totally welcoming and happy and wonderful about this. And the body that has been chosen for this new energy to come in, that's how you saw it in the dream, was 35 years old. So what I'd like to do at the moment is say that 35 years will either be you when you were 35 or will be 35 years ago. So can I just ask you, are you older than 35 now?
I am older than 35 years.
Okay. And so if you think back to when you were 35, can you picture that at the moment?
Was that
a significant time in your life?
Well, it was. I actually used to compete in like body shaping competitions, bodybuilding competitions, and I was really probably, I guess you would say, in the pinnacle of all of that because I won quite a few competitions at that point in time.
Right, okay, that's probably what it's going to be. But we'll just test the alternative too. If you go back 35 years, where would that take you to? Can you think? You don't have to name the age, but can you picture that time? So 35 years ago would have been, this is 2011. I'm going to ask Michael to work this out because my brain doesn't work this out when I'm doing dreams.
Yeah, well, I was a teenager, so.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, probably not such a good time in my life.
1976.
Yeah.
Does that specifically just like as the same for any teenager, or is there a standout thought that's right in your head right now?
A standout thought as I went experiencing a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have experienced, and it was not a really happy time in my life by any means, and it actually went on for quite a period of time. So it wasn't just a fleeting experience. It was something I really took a while to get over. You know, just all the wrong things that teenagers do,
yeah.
Just experiencing a different experience in life, which was probably not the best. but, you know, we well, I can't say we all do it, but I did it, and that's the way, you know, I worked out all my problems or whatever, and, you know, and you learn and grow from that.
You certainly do, and it's that, you know, it's those very difficult times which perhaps teenage years are specifically created for that give us those life experiences that we need. So I my feeling is that we're going to run on both of these, because a number in a dream is usually pretty accurate, and sometimes, and if you start thinking rationally and logically, you lose it, but sometimes it relates to both at once. I'm just going to ask you one other question, Anna, before going on with the interpretation. Can you see in your mind's eye, and if you can't, I'll probably find it later, a connection between those experiential dark years as a teenager and why you competed in body shaping much later?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
A link between the two.
Mm.
Well, I guess really one was quite the opposite of the other. One was really going backwards into who I wanted to be, but that's who I wanted to be at the time,
yes.
You know? And then in my fitness, you know, when I was personal training and doing all that, that's who I wanted to be. So really I can say I excelled in both areas,
yeah.
Because I ran really, really back, you know, backwards. But that's what I wanted at that time. That's the thing. That's, you know, you think now and you think that's crazy.
Yeah.
But that is what I wanted at that time. That's
yes.
exactly what I wanted.
Yes.
And the other was exactly what I wanted too.
Yes.
Meaning the days and the fitness and everything. You know, I loved that. I loved that. And once again, I was living that. You know, I was dreaming about the fitness and dreaming, you know, that that's what I wanted to do and that's what I wanted to be. And, you know, so definitely I excelled in both areas.
So you excelled in both areas. You're able to excel in any areas. And what you've also picked up there is how we can wonderfully pick a perception of life, a kind of choose our reality. You know, whether that's the kind of things that you experienced as a teenager or whether it was the body shaping or the fitness or any other area in your life, we all have this amazing ability, and some of us have it more than others, and you obviously have it, to really focus on what you believe to be that reality and achieve it wonderfully. And then, as you so beautifully described, to later look back and go, oh, that was interesting, wasn't it? I'm living in a different reality now. You know, many people just have one reality, one set of goals or expectations that they're born into, and they spend their life totally believing that that's how life is, and they achieve it or they don't achieve it. And it's kind of like a one-eyed view of life, and that's how most people go through the world. And then there's others who can experience a total reality, like this is what life is about. And then, you know, a decade later, oh no, this is what life's about. How could anybody not be interested in what I'm doing? And then a decade later, no, this is what life's about. And they're all totally real, but they're all totally different experiences, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Mm. So there's that feeling in your dream that your dreaming mind or your dreaming self, as it's reviewing the couple of days before this dream, is reminding yourself of those pivotal points where you created and totally believed in those particular realities and experienced them down to the core of your being. And it's highlighted that now, at the time of your dream, there's another takeover. There's another leader coming in. So we're taking over the 35 years. We're going, okay, Anna is going through another major transformation here along the lines of moving into a completely different set of expectations and reality. And it's like a total transformation. And you're excited about it, but also anxious about it. And one of the ways of looking at this that your dream is pictured is it's male. Which is a bit of a challenge for you because you've got that rational, intuitional thing going on later. But he's a kind of very spiritual man. He's got this otherworldly, deep love and a lot of other things going on there. So this is the energy that at the moment you're orienting towards and bringing into experience. It's almost like, how can I experience the outer world, you know, my inner male, my yang, but in a completely different way, in a more spiritual, paradoxically in a more female kind of way. It's all about how can I bring this together? And it's a real sense of its new leadership within you that you're bringing in. And when that happens and you're really happy about it, you then, you know, the next section of your dream, I think you said it felt very vague, but you had a normal everyday talk with him, didn't you?
Yeah, it was just a normal interaction. It was nothing special, nothing that really stood out. It was just your basic every sort of day interaction with people, yeah.
Which is absolutely fabulous, because what that meant is at that point, you were, although extraordinary things happen in the rest of the dream, at that point, it was all like, wow, this incredible thing's going to happen. This leader's going to take over this body, and it's amazing. But as soon as it's done, it's like, oh, well, that's just kind of like every day now, isn't it? And it's the same in our lives as you, just like when you switched and became the top of your field in body shaping, for example. It was like that then became, yeah, well, it can't anybody do this? Like, this is every day. This is my everyday life now. And when we make a change, it may seem to be amazing and awesome, but once it's made, that becomes everyday reality. So it's almost like that acceptance in the dreamer. This is the new me now. This is it. You know, I totally accept this because it's like every day, even though the dream goes on to get more extraordinary. And the next thing that happens in the dream is you've got the cave. Did the whole rest of the dream take place in the cave, or did I know he went out to find the picture, but did you all stay in the cave, or did you all move out of the cave at some stage?
Well, that was the cave scene. He took off and went to get the item. We were just there waiting for him to come back. So when he came back, he actually looked really different and scary. I didn't put that in the in the document, but he actually looked quite scary. But as I said, I didn't flinch. Mm. You know, it was like he had all blood vessels, or his skin was taken off, or whatever it was. His face looked, you know, grotesque.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't really classify it as scary. I didn't classify it as, I just thought different. And as I said, I didn't even flinch. I just thought, oh, look at that. You know, he just looked so different. And I knew it was the same person. So, you know, it was just like everyday stuff. I didn't worry about it. He's just got a different jacket on, or a different coat on, or so what. You know,
he's got a different face on. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So that's lovely. So that as we ourselves change and move into different areas, it's like we put a different face on as well. And of course, the reason why we don't move into a new area or don't become a new thing is because we're actually frightened of going there. It's moving out of comfort zone. So when we are ready to make a change and put a different face on something, what we have to do in order to get ourselves from where we are to this new position is face the fears and anxieties that previously stopped us from going there. And what you've got in that dream is remembering that everyone in the dream is kind of like an aspect of yourself. It's like you are fearful but not flinching of a new face that you're going to put on. Now, we're not saying that your new face is grotesque, because he turned out to be an absolutely fantastic, wonderful, healing person. We're just saying that's how you perceive it. The dream is like, oh, I should be frightened of this, but I'm okay. I'm going to go with this.
Right.
So there's that feeling that, anyway, you're in the cave, which is a kind of dark, usually a dark.
Yeah. Can I just really answer your question? I didn't even answer your question. We were in the cave. Then when he came back with the paper or the photograph or whatever was in his hands, the other people were viewing it. As soon as I viewed it, I was just like going straight into another area altogether. No one else was around me. That guy, the leader, was not there. It was just me experiencing his experience totally.
Yes.
And then the next step was, when I went to the next scene, it was me experiencing his experience totally without any of the other people of the group, or the leader wasn't there. I was purely in that experience by myself, experiencing his after-death experiences.
Fantastic. That's absolutely brilliant. So there's a sense of you were in the cave, but that cave got left behind with the rest of the dream. And the deeper thing that you've so well described there is that until he bought the picture, Mac, there were the rest of the group, the other people, him, you. But the moment you looked at the picture from there to the end of the dream, it was all about you. You were having his experiences or your own experiences. And even when you saw the woman that was in mourning, or you were mourning, the people were mourning the women, it was all, the experience was yours. The dream was centered on you. Yeah.
I was absolutely, you got it correct. I was experiencing it all.
Yeah.
But I was also experiencing his experience after his death.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you can kind of liken a cave to a womb, a uterus. You know, it's like a cave is an interior cavity, which we normally eventually leave a cave and go out into the world. And I'm getting that sense. It's almost like a birth, you know, or you go inside. A cave can also be where you go to meditate. So it's where you go. It's your inner self. It's where you go inside. And when you've got the answer, you come out and put it into effect in the outer world. So it's that feeling of a, you go on.
A rebirthing.
Yeah.
I thought, as soon as you said that, a rebirthing.
A rebirthing, that's right. Mm. So we've got that, yeah, beautifully captured and well labelled there, Anna. So you've got the new leadership quality comes in that you're prepared to face, and this whole section of the dream is the process of rebirth that you're going through. You may be aware, in the day or two before the dream, you may have been aware of a rebirthing procedure, but you most probably weren't, because all this is the unconscious stuff that is now, even just now, 2 weeks later, bubbling up. So you may just be beginning to grasp now what the rebirth is that you're going through. You know, you've been through many rebirths before, and they've included rebirthing from your teenage experiences into the whatever you went to next, and rebirthing into the body shaping, and rebirthing out of the body shaping, and so on. So this is another rebirth of a fantastic proportions. So you know that he has to go and find something. Up to now, it's all been happy, excited. This is wonderful. I'm anxious, but this is, and all of a sudden, it's like he says, the leader in the dream, right, I've got to go and get an item of interest now. This may not be pleasant, or it may not be a pleasant vicinity. I've got to go somewhere. How did you describe that bit again that wasn't so pleasant?
Well, I said I would go get it, and he said, no, it's not a good idea, because like there was many different areas to the cave, and I would get lost, and I didn't really know where it was or what I would, you know, where I was going, where he could intuitively tune into exactly where it was, exactly where he needed to be. Plus, he was also a bit concerned that, you know, some of the areas weren't as nice and as pleasant as where we were. That may be, you know, adverse area, you know, not such a pleasant area. But
yeah.
he wasn't saying it was that way. He said it could be, and it may be. So he was saying it was best for him to go, because he intuitively knew where exactly where it was without going here, there and everywhere, sort of hunting for it.
Perfect.
Which I would have had to do.
So he could go straight to the point.
Straight to it.
Yeah. He being part of the, what you're rebirthing into, that energy is what you're rebirthing into, but during the rebirthing process, you're not there yet. So it's kind of like a part of you is out there doing this, and the part of you that still feels like you is, oh, I know, I don't know where I would look for that. So I love what you say there about there are some areas of the cave that might have things that are not that good to go into at the moment, and then he's got that feeling of a question mark over, or maybe, maybe not. And that's like all of our lives. You know, every single one of us have had these experiences that we put away and go, oh, that's a bit dark. I don't really want to look at that again. You know, that's life. That's what we do. But of course, we actually know that every single one, the darkest experience is actually has got a, you know, a pearl that's got light in it if we choose to go back and have a look at it. So that's what he or you, that part of yourself from the dream, was really saying to you is, like everyone else, I've got all these other areas in my cave that I could, if I wanted, go and have a look. They might spook me. I might not want to go back to those times, and I don't actually have to. But, you know, but just remember, they're not really as bad as they seem, because they've all got good learning and good, you know, insight in them. But it's almost like the part that you're evolving into, which is represented by him, says, but I know the bit we need to go to right now to effect this rebirth. I know what you need to transform from your past to accelerate into the next stage. And I love that even though he's represented as a male, he uses his intuition. I love that, don't you?
Yeah, good. Well, he was using his intuition. I was using my intuition. And as you mentioned before, I was also, my logical mind as well. I knew I was using my logical mind, and I was bringing myself back, you know, out of my dream, and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But yes, he was using his intuition, and I was as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So it's really focusing on your intuition as the way to go, what you need to look at, what you don't need to look at. And of course, he goes out and he gets a picture. And I think at one point you described it as a painting or a picture, and then the paper.
Exactly. He came back with something square in his hands, and you know, I couldn't see it. Well, I really didn't see it. Even when he brought it to me, I didn't see what was in his hands. I was just taken straight immediately to that scene to experience his experience. I really didn't even view. I only saw a square piece of paper or you know, photograph or whatever it was. I really didn't even see anything. As I said, as soon as he came to me, I was just immediately taken into that experience 100%. So I don't even know what was in his hands. Really, I'm just trying to describe. It was a square paper photo, whatever it was.
No, that's fantastic. Sometimes I'd look at a square as being rational as opposed to, you know, curvy lines, which are more intuitive. But I think in this particular instance, it had to be a picture, and it kind of, you only think a picture's kind of square. But what he essentially did to you there was show you a new view, you know, a picture of how things could be, a view. That's what a picture is really. It's like, picture this. So he brings to you the new picture because this is a rebirth. This is the new picture. It's not the teenage picture. It's not the body shaping. It's not 100 other things. This is the new picture. And it's just that acceptance of looking at the new picture that even though you didn't actually remember what the picture was, that was, as you say, unimportant. It was the conduit that took you direct to the experience of the new picture, your new view of life, the new view. And you got it. Yeah. And one of the first things you had to do in order to really totally step into this new picture is to grieve the past in some way. So the woman that everyone was mourning, and you were seeing this from, which I understand was him, but you were seeing it from a higher perspective, which is why you were kind of up on the ceiling looking down, is again, it's like an energy in your life that you're grieving and letting go. It's what you were before you transformed into the energy of the male. And, you know, because that's how it was in the dream. He in his past life was this woman. She's dying. It's day one. He's moving into leadership. And this is what day one, as you say later on in the dream, there's 3 days of grieving. So your dream is basically saying you're a third of the way through letting go of the old, which has to be an experience. You can't just close your door and go, right, that's it, I'm moving on to a new life now. As we know, life doesn't work that way. We have to close the door eventually, but we have to close the door slowly and at peace with everything and letting things go. So there's that sense of you, and I am going to move into and identify it more specifically, but that sense of, as you say, you felt her pain and sorrow. So there is an area of your cave, metaphorically your cave, where there has been pain and there has been sorrow, which you haven't needed to or wanted to look at before, but in the last couple of weeks it's been important for you to go, yeah, look, now I'm wise enough and evolved enough to be able to look back at that pain and sorrow that I experienced and say, you know, I'm going to let that go. But to let that go, I've just got some grief around that. I've got some grief about what I put myself through, about the pain and sorrow that I went through. You know, if I went through it now as a wiser person, I wouldn't feel as much pain and sorrow. But I can now sense what I went through. I'm so glad to be letting this go. But it's an important moment to honor myself for what I went through there. There's that kind of sense. And then it really, you really get more into that temple feeling then in the dream, don't you?
Yes. Well, they're actually two different scenes. The first, with the woman, it was as though she was near his coffin, like his coffin was there and she was there. But it was mainly focused on her, on his beloved mourning his death.
Yes.
And I was experiencing, you know, his beloved mourning his death. So that was in a totally different scene. And then I went to the moving scene, which was, it was like in a temple, yeah.
Yeah. So if you say that he's beloved mourning his death, so that is really, in order for you to go through a rebirth, there's got to be death of the old, birth of the new. That's what a rebirth is. And we know that the new is the energy as represented by this man, because he is you in many ways. It's the energy you're moving into. So really, there's got to be a death of his old way for him to be born in the new way. And so what you're seeing in the dream is his counterpart mourning his loss. So we're still going back to that feeling of you needing to grieve for your own pain and sorrow that you've experienced in the past, that needs to be experienced and released in order for you to be able to totally move forward in this new and wonderful way. And then we go to the next scene, as you say, or what feels like a different dream, but part of the same theme, which is the temple. What era did you put on the temple?
Oh, I'm unaware of that, to be honest. I obviously would say it would have been very old. It's really, I just used temple to give you some sort of descriptive method or view of where I was. All it was, as I said, it was just like me viewing something from the ceiling, and it was a very large space, but it was confined within a or what we would classify as a building, but it wasn't a building. It was more like, you know, a temple, but I couldn't really... The focus was on the lights and the people or whatever was down there. It wasn't so much on the building, but as I said, that's just an overview to give you a better description.
I've got it beautifully, particularly when you said overview there, which is what you were getting right at the top. So the temple, you also described there as the focus was on the lights, but it was all kind of confined in this place. So my feeling there is that it's many things. You perceive it as a temple because you're looking at your spiritual aspect here, which is then you're looking from above and looking down. You're getting an overview. So again, it's a kind of spiritual perspective. And you've also got this feeling of confinement. It's almost like your body being the temple of your soul. It's like, yes. And, you know, sometimes it feels like it's confined in my body. Whereas when you evolve to that area where you are now, you know that a part of you is in your body and the rest of you is everywhere else. But in this part of the dream, you're looking almost within the body and you're looking down and you're seeing, and I got very excited when you said, I'm looking at the yellow and orange lights, because I'm thinking, oh yeah, this is chakra stuff. So I was really pleased later on when you referenced the base chakra, although the base chakra is red. You know, you've got your second chakra is orange and the third chakra is yellow, isn't it?
Yes.
So when in your understanding of the chakras, how do you relate the base chakra, the yellow and the orange, the first, second and third? Because we all have slightly different visions of it. What's your feeling of those?
Well, I guess the base chakra is more about yourself, the person, the being. The second one is more related with family and friends and that type of thing. And the third one is power, you know, like power of not really control, but power in a gentle sort of manner, but more to do with power.
I love that. I love that description of the power being a kind of gentle manner, because it goes back to what I was trying to say earlier about this man, this new leader, that isn't it strange that he was represented as male in the dream, and yet it was his intuition, which is a female quality, that was getting in places. So there's that feeling of within you, this feeling of, it's almost like it's an answer to a lifelong thing. How do I go out there in the outer world, which is my male side, without being an alpha male in a male kind of thing? How do I go out there and do my work in the outer world while bringing the female intuitional qualities with it? How do I have power, which is not a kind of male, kind of totally male power? It's a gentle power. And to me, that's looking down on that yellow light and that power and that beautiful description of gentle power. It's like you may have felt that you've been doing this gentle power thing for a long time, but this is an increase in this. This is really focused on, this is the key, is gentle power. And something in the back of my mind's going, the body shaping you entered for all sorts of wonderful reasons, including the body being the temple of your soul. And there's also that thing, particularly for a female bodybuilder, of testing and pushing the boundaries between what is a female body, what is a beautiful female body, how defined, how muscular can it be? And other people saying, oh, well, is that masculine? Is that feminine? There's all those wonderful questions. And it's almost like going into bodybuilding to find how to hone your power and maleness, but in a female way. So there's kind of, I can see all that kind of energy in there. And what I love in this dream is that you look down through the yellow and through the orange, and it's your focus on those colors. And as you've described in the third chakra, the gentle power, a power in a gentle manner, and then through that to family and friends, that actually results in the physical, when you wake up from the dream, that physical sensation in the base chakra. This is what leads to this absolute, you described the base chakra as the self. Now, let's just hold that word self for a moment, Anna, and just do a quick one-sentence review of the dream. We started with all these people in the dream, all these aspects of yourself that you were unfamiliar with, and the dream has gone through an integration process, brought those all together, gone through a rebirth, and you've emerged as you being the total center of the experience. This has been about a new self emerging via an integration of many, many things. So it's a new self. So to wake up with that feeling of all the energy in the base chakra, which you perceive as a self, it's like, yes, 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 yes. I have just anchored this fantastic new evolution of self energy into myself through a new vision of gentle power, power with a gentle manner. That goes through this, and that scene in the dream was seen through that there was the background of the chanting love for the deceased person. So this is something that evolves through you grieving for the pain and the sorrow that you've put yourself through in the past, enabling yourself to mourn and let go of that deceased person, that deceased energy within yourself is what opens you to the vision of therefore allowing the more gentle power in, which really anchors into yourself and then equilibrates with this ovary thing going on, the male and female energy. So it's letting go of some sorrow and pain that enables this stronger sense of gentle manner power and self to come through. And then, waking up in the bed and feeling that, which is an absolutely fantastic feeling. I do know what you mean. And I'm sure there are many of our intense dreamers listening that also know what you mean by that. It's rare. And when it happens, it's fantastic. It's almost like you, for those of you listening that haven't experienced this, it's almost like you wake up and your body feels different. You can say things like, oh, I think I got a massage in my dream last night, or I think I got a chiropractic adjustment. You know, it's actually, you actually feel your body feels different. And there are many reasons for this. And one of only many is that our body is a reflection of our mind and our emotions. And so if we make a major shift in our mind or our emotions, and that's captured in a dream, then we're going to wake up and sense our body in a different way because it is different. It may look the same in the mirror. And like, you know, I asked you the question at the beginning, Anna, did you have anything that needed healing? You're saying, no. Like, I actually feel the same. So there's that feeling that because there's been a mental or emotional or spiritual shift within you while you were sleeping, you actually do physically 100% feel the physical sensation when you're waking, because your picture of the world is different, your picture of the body is different, you're feeling it differently. And the bottom line for you, Anna, was it was not only this energy shifting from the left and right ovary, which is getting your male-female balance right, making it more of a gentle power now, but it was also the focus was on the ovaries, which of course is your creativity. So this is about you stepping out into the world in a totally different creative way based on gentle energy, rebirth, and the absolute experiential not knowing that this is about divine, pure love. That's what you experience in the dream that allows you to be absolutely in the present moment. And that is a huge, huge, wonderful shift. And wow, I'm very impressed with what you've done. How does this relate?
Well, I'm actually just finished writing a book, or drafting a book, I guess you would say. And it's a holistic book, and it's like a self-help tool for people. And I'm currently looking for a literary agent, so that's what I'm doing at the moment. And the title, what I'm hoping the title will be, is Self-Empowerment for Other People.
Mm.
So stepping out into the world in a gentle power probably would make sense, if I was to put it in that frame of mind.
Mm. So do you feel that in looking for your agent now, I'm going to give you an alchemy, but in looking for your literary agent, that you've kind of got all these energies in a way that you can channel them to do that?
Well, I guess at the time of the dream, I would just have been finishing the book at the time of the dream. So looking for a literary agent is probably just in the last few days. But at the time of the dream, I probably would have been just in the finalising stages of the book.
Mm.
So I think it's more about the book than sort of finding an agent, because as I said, that's more in the last few days. But yeah, I think it's probably more towards about because I really do want to get it published and out in the world.
Mm.
And that's, you know, I guess, my next sort of, hopefully, theme in life.
Yes, that sounds right.
I mean, I've got, you know, big hopes and whatever for it, just as I had with those other two areas in my life, you know. It's like that. When I get onto something, I give it, if I'm really that, if it comes from my heart, and this is coming from my heart, you know, so I give it my best, and I want to take it all the way. I don't do things in half measures by any chance. You know, I really want to do the best that I can. And also, I'm hoping other people will think it's good as well,
to
help other people as well.
And that's fantastic. And do you feel that there's anything that is in the book that you are at all worried about going public with, or are you totally comfortable with it all?
Oh, well, it's in a very holistic sense. It's got quite a few self-help tools. I guess it's really telling people who I really am,
yes,
and who I've really been all this time, and who we, all of us, who we really are.
Yes.
I mean, we're just beings experiencing humanity through a body. You know, I guess I don't have a normal, average, everyday type of way of thinking, that I think that this is just a dream and we're making this dream up, if you want to put it in, you know, those terms. So it's really coming from my inner self, I guess,
yes,
and not from what people perceive me to be, or what we perceive life to be.
Yes.
As in the human sense. It's really about who we really are and becoming who we really are, and just realizing that we are living a dream, and it's our inner world reflecting the outer world.
Absolutely. So that's really fantastic. So the thing will be that you've got that feeling, you've got the whole picture, you've made your pictures successful before, you know what you're doing, has taken the energy forward. And, you know, and our last step is to give you a dream alchemy practice to totally nail that one. And a dream alchemy practice sometimes is created to change any unconscious belief that is working against you so that it's working for you. And sometimes it's created to pick up on something that's, we can see in the dream, yes, that's working for you, and we create a dream alchemy practice to really accelerate that. So our task here is to pick a dream alchemy practice to really bring this forward. And I think what feels good to me is we've got this thing of the picture, and it's a word that we've been talking about all the way through, Anna, your new picture, your new view. And we've got this lovely feeling of the energy going between the left and right ovary at the end of the dream. Are you at all artistic?
Not necessarily, but I guess writing a book, that is something.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, wrong choice of word. I meant in a kind of painting sense. I do apologize for that.
Yeah, not so much in the painting sense, no, but, you know, if anything, the creative flow was putting the book together.
Yes.
If anything, that's what I guess I picked up on when, if you sort of mentioned anything like that, that's what I would have thought.
Okay, so you're, as well as doing your book, which is non-fiction, you are good with words.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, so what I'd like you to do is to, as your dream alchemy practice, is to kind of draw a picture, either with just some basic colours of paint or with collage, and use words in that too. You know how you sometimes see in artwork, you see art which is like a picture and it's got a lot of images on it, and the artist has incorporated words? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, sort of,
sort of. What I'd like you to do is create a picture that has your left and right ovary in it, not literally, and the energy that's going back and forth between them. So some kind of picture that for you encapsulates that feeling of the end of the dream, but you write words on the picture as well.
Oh, well, that's... the only thing that comes to mind is a pink, fluffy cloud, you know, just pure divine love.
Perfect.
That would be it, encapsulated, definitely.
That's perfect, because that's what our dreams do beautifully for us. They give us these feelings, and it's like a shorthand, you know, to encapsulate something. For what you might write your second book about the pink fluffy cloud and use 60,000 words to say it, you can just go pink fluffy cloud to yourself, picture of pink fluffy cloud, and you've got it in one. It's like, yeah, that encapsulates this feeling. So what I'd like you to do is to, it can be a post-it note size, it doesn't have to be huge, is do a pink fluffy cloud. And on it, write a couple of words, which are also key words for you with this new picture. And they might be self-empowerment. It might be gentle power, whatever. And just stick it somewhere prominent. And it's like the shortcut encapsulation of the good stuff that came out of your dream. It's like, this is my Anna's shortcut visual for that whole dream. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I would just put pure divine love. That's
perfect. And I love that it's pink, because that's kind of red, which is the base chakra too. And it's love. Yeah. So if you can just do that, you know, usually I'd make quite a more complicated alchemy practice, but I feel for you, that's all it is. So that you have some days when you're doing things that are too rational, talking to agents, doing proofreading, doing all the things that you have to do, doing marketing to get a book out there. You can just come back to that pink fluffy cloud and go, yes, right, I'm back in the energy. That's what it is. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So... yeah. Thank you so much for sharing an absolutely brilliant and fantastic dream, Anna.
Okay, that was good. Thank you.
It was lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's Anna's dream, her interpretation and her alchemy. And soon she'll have a book out as well, which is absolutely fantastic. And if she'd like to let us know about it, I'll let you know about it when the time comes. So they say that the normal gestation for a book is about 9 months. And that's how it used to be with traditional publishing. And I think it's much the same by whichever route you go these days, if you're doing it properly. So we may hear from Anna later about her book. In the meantime, I really love that no matter how extraordinary a dream is or how short and boring a dream is, you can always actually interpret it on 4 different levels. You can interpret a dream meaningfully on a physical level, you know, about your physical life, about your material life, about the way you interact with your material things in life, about your physical body. You can also interpret the same dream on more of an emotional level, you know, why your life is the way it is because of your emotions or your beliefs around emotions or your past emotional experiences. You can do the same, interpret the same dream on more of a mental level. These are your thoughts about the world. These are the thoughts you were raised with. These are the thoughts that you have taken on as a result of your experiences. These are the thoughts that are resulting in the life that you are experiencing. And you can interpret a dream more on a spiritual level, you know, which is more, well, what's this about in the overall divine plan of things? What's this about in the overall, you know, your place in the universe and the greater experience beyond your body, beyond your physical, mental, emotional self? You know, what's it all about then? What's the spiritual understanding? And of course, you can also interpret a dream on all 4 levels concurrently. And we did a little bit of that with Anna's dream, which I always enjoy doing because, of course, they're all connected. As many of you know from listening to many of these shows, what's happening in your physical life is also a result of what's happening where you're at spiritually, where you're at emotionally, where you're at mentally, and so on and so forth. But I'm sure after perhaps almost an hour of listening to this podcast, you're probably ready to go and turn your brain off and just put your feet up and contemplate. Maybe you can borrow Anna's vision of the pink fluffy cloud that is just divine and pure love that puts you totally in the moment and just makes everything really lovely and simple. And she's absolutely right there. So enjoy, and I'll speak to you. I'll enjoy your company for another episode of The Dream Show in 4 weeks' time. Have a lovely month. Enjoy. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.